Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. And no matter how you're listening to us, welcome, whether that's on Breadbox Media, Evangelism Radio, or on Patchwork Heart Radio. I am Bill Snyder. Joining me today is Trent Horn. He is an apologist for Catholic Answers, and he has earned his master's degree in theology from Franciscan University of Steubenville after his conversion to the Catholic faith. He has his master's degree in philosophy from Holy Apostles College and is pursuing a master's degree in bioethics from the University of Mary. As a staff apologist for Catholic Answers, he specializes in teaching Catholics to graciously pursue and engage those who disagree with them. Trent models the approach on the radio program Catholic Answers Live, where he dialogues with atheists, pro-choice activists, and other non-Catholic callers. Trent is also an adjunct professor of apologetics at Holy Apostles College and the author of 5 books, including Answering Atheism, The Case for Catholicism, and Why We Are Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love, and his most recent one, What the Saints Never Said. So Trent, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being here on Young Catholics Respond today. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
So Trent, this program, I use Young Catholics Respond as both a call to action and also a statement. You know, how do we respond to this culture that is out there? And you're one of the leading men in the Catholic Church doing this today. So I really want to ask you, what are the big things that young people in particular need to respond to?
Sure. I think that young people today, the things they need to respond to are secularism, individualism, and utilitarianism. The bad things always tend to come in isms that are not good for our faith. So when I put those together, what would that mean is, so secularism speaks for itself. It's the idea that religion is either not helpful or a bad thing, that it's better to rely on science and technology, and religion is something that's a relic from a bygone age, and we don't really need it in our modern lives. Individualism would be the idea that what matters most in life is me and what I want to accomplish. And even religious people succumb to this temptation of thinking that the most important thing in life is that I get what I want. And that leads to justifying all kinds of bad behavior or abandoning God. And that leads to the moral dilemma of our day, which is utilitarianism. Now, most people aren't strict utilitarians. The idea that morality is what's most useful. They do believe in certain human rights and things like that, but they think that as long as nobody gets hurt or as long as everyone's a consenting adult, then a moral action, especially a sexual behavior, it's okay. So I think those are three big things that young Catholics are going to have to respond to more in the near future.
Yeah, and when you're encountering something that as pervasive as secularism, let's say, which is so pervasive that it's in every song, it's in every new book or movie that comes out, maybe save for your books. But the idea is, how do we combat secularism in our society when it's so pervasive?
Well, I think we have to lead by example. I mean, simple things you can do is just not be ashamed to bring up God in conversation. We'll say, you want to join me for dinner tomorrow night? Like, well, God willing, I will be there. To know that this is not something that's a relic. It's something that's an important part of one's life that we want to share. And then also to let people know that we have good reasons to believe in the existence of God and to believe that God has revealed himself through the person of Jesus Christ, to say our faith isn't built on blind faith. It's not like there's science and then blind faith. Science discovers many things about the world, but it can't answer every truth about the world. Rather, we can show people that philosophy and reason shows there is a transcendent cause beyond the universe, and a historical investigation shows that this cause was revealed through the person of Jesus. So to be able to demonstrate these reasons, as St. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, to always be ready to give a reason for the hope within, but to do so with gentleness and reverence, I think is the primary task for young Catholics today.
How wonderful that is. Absolutely how wonderful that is. And so when you talk about equipping people with those tools, because I think a lot of young Catholics today, in fact, last night I just had my confirmation ceremony with 68 students. I'm a youth minister, and we had 68 kids. And let me tell you, it is an incredible task to prepare them for something like, you know, living a religious life or living a Catholic lifestyle their entire life. They have so many different questions. They have so many different things. What do they need to be equipped to battle that out there in the world? What are the tools that equip them to do that?
Sure. I think the tools would center on two tasks. One, teaching them what we believe, and then two, teaching them why we believe that. The first level, some people misinterpret our faith in both doctrine and morality and make it seem like Catholics believe outlandish things that we don't actually believe, like believing the idea that sex, for example, is something bad or dirty and to be avoided. And so young people go into the world and think, well, that's not true, and I like this more liberating sexual ethic, so I'm going to choose it over what the Church teaches. When I would say, no, that's not what the Church teaches at all. We teach sex is a good, beautiful, wonderful thing that ought to be used properly and not misused. So that and doctrine are saying, you know, we worship Mary, you know, well, we don't worship Mary like a god. We give her a goddess. We give her proper worth as the mother of God. So the first task is just helping young people read the catechism, read scripture. This is what we believe, and correcting misconceptions. Second, though, is to give the reasons from scripture, from history, from science, from philosophy, to show, hey, what we believe can stand up to the attacks and criticisms of those who don't believe. And so that involves really training, showing young people, hey, here's what our culture says, here's how we are attacked, but here are the arguments in defense and the answers we offer, and to help them learn what those answers are and to practice being able to give them to other people.
That's wonderful. Do you recommend that, you know, as a youth minister, a lot of this is delivered to us through excellent resources like Catholic Answers resources or books. And you guys have so many great resources, but practically speaking, and, you know, just as you were talking, okay, you know, teaching them and helping them understand the truths of the faith, but would you recommend that there be some type of, like, putting this into practice before they actually need to use it? Like, and how would you go about doing such a thing?
Absolutely. I think that one thing that could be done is I would recommend that even high school students, they could read my book, Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. It's written so anyone, including high school students, can understand it and learn from it. The book is called Why We're Catholic. If they read it as part of a group study, and then they could go out and practice it by engaging in conversations with people. I mean, that could even be done on social media, you know, replying to an anti-Catholic comment and practicing giving an answer, or even going to a public park or a fair and setting up a little booth saying, like, you know, are you Catholic? Yes, no, maybe. Or do you believe in God? Yes or no? And people write down their answer and ask them, hey, why did you answer that? And just practicing, hey, here's how you have these real conversations with people.
That's a really good idea. That's a really good idea. Youth ministers, if you're listening, that is a fantastic idea from Trent. To put these things into practice before you need them. It's that training aspect of, you know, what we need to know, because we are in a battle with this stuff. I maybe want to move over to with secularism. I want to move over maybe a little bit to individualism, because you know, there are kids out there that and young adults out there that really do center themselves around themselves, and understanding that there is a world of difference, or, you know, a bigger world out there beyond themselves. And really what happens when they discover that there is a truth beyond themselves, what happens to the soul? What happens to the person when they discover and break out of this individualistic mindset?
Sure. Well, it's joy. When you come to realize goods that exist beyond oneself, you realize your true purpose in life, which is to be able to love God for all eternity and love all of those that God has created to spend eternity with Him. And when we turn in on ourselves, we have a desire for infinite happiness. And going inward doesn't satisfy that desire because we're finite, not infinite. So as much as we can, it never truly satisfies. We become frustrated and jaded and cynical and depressed. So I think to help young people see, no, we should first turn to God through the, you know, through the sacraments, through the Mass, going to confession, being able to unite with Him, the source of all goodness, life, truth, and perfection. And then be able, when we are sanctified and equipped with the grace of God, to be able to go out into the world and be able to love others, not see others. When you're an individualist, other people only exist as a means for your happiness. So you have terrible relationships with other people. Nobody wants to be used. But when you see others as ends in and of themselves for you to provide for their good, to make sacrifices for others, then, ironically, in serving others, you yourself actually do become more and more happy and fulfilled. So to help people see the roots of our faith, to counter that modern individualism, I think it's very important.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, just to echo that, Trent, I tell young people quite often, in fact, during their confirmation interviews, is that when you turn over your desires, your passions, the things that God gifted you, God does not want, and correct me if I'm wrong, but God does not want you to stifle who you are. He gave you certain desires and passions. He just wants you to order them and give them back to Him so that He can use those gifts and talents in the world to help other people. And that's when you're going to be the happiest. Does that kind of help battle that individualistic society?
Yes, it absolutely does. I think some people think, you know, well, I'm not a stereotypical Catholic. Well, nobody is. I mean, when you look at the saints, you run the gamut. I mean, you have Saint Therese of Lisieux, the Little Flower of Jesus, and then you have Saint Nicholas, who punched the heretic Arius in the face. So, I mean, there's not one stereotype one has to fall into. You just have to love God and be willing to serve Him. But we do that in all different ways. So to tell young people, whatever passions you have, there are goods that you are attracted to. Find the goods, whether it's the arts, music, sports, leadership, civics, whatever it may be, family, religious life, vocations. But find, you know, you'll know that you were made for more. God made you for something in particular. And serve Him through that. No matter what you do, just be sure you glorify Him in everything that you do.
Wonderful. Trent, thank you so much for all of your amazing Catholic answers. Pun definitely intended. We have to take a short break here on Young Catholics Respond. We have so much more to talk about, though, including your latest book, What the Saints Never Said. So we're going to be right back here after these brief messages here on Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder with guest Trent Horn.
The Contemplative Stations of the Cross audio devotional is now available from Patchwork Heart Ministry. This devotional features an introduction and overview of the theology, history, and spirituality of the Stations of the Cross by Father Bill Zimmer, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, along with an audio version of the Contemplative Stations of the Cross led by author Bill Snyder, and the Stabat Mater, chanted in Latin by Marissa Ellison. CDs are $7.99, and digital downloads are only $3.99. Copies may be purchased by visiting patchworkheart.org or calling 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered, How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection. Telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard?
Do you seek to make Scripture a greater part of your daily faith journey? Would you like it readily available on your smartphone or tablet? The Truth and Life Bible app delivers to your mobile device the complete Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible with a concordance entirely free. You will also enjoy free content from Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire, Father Jim McElhone's Word Made Clear, Jeff Caven's The Great Bible Adventure, and the Catholic News Agency. In addition, you can hear the Gospel of Mark dramatically proclaimed by world-renowned actors and actresses like Blair Underwood, Neil McDonough, Kristen Bell, and many more. The full audio dramatization of the New Testament, along with the Ignatius Study Bible, can be purchased within the app. It is available on the App Store, Google Play, Amazon Kindle, and at downloadjesus.com.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I am joined today by Trent Horn. He is a staff apologist for Catholic Answers and an author of many, many books. He hosts or goes on the radio each week with Catholic Answers Live and dialogues with atheists, pro-choice activists, and other non-Catholic callers. He is truly one of the best at dealing with spreading the faith with charity and clarity. And so we were talking all about the different battles young people go through and in society today, and dealing with secularism and individualism in today's world and how best to maybe combat some of that. There's some really good tips in the first half of the interview. Scroll back if you need to. Trent, I want to talk to you a little bit about sainthood, because each and every person is called to sainthood, right? When we step out of our secularist society and we're done revolving around ourselves and the world, what happens is we realize we're called to something greater. And that lends us to not use other people and in this utilitarian culture, but we step out of ourselves and realize there's something larger. What is it about being a saint? What does it mean to be a saint?
Sure. The word saint comes from the Greek word, the hagioi, the holy ones, those who are set apart for God. The word holy just means to be set apart, to be taken out from the regular material flesh world, if you will, and to be ordered towards that which is heavenly, to God, to be set apart for Him, apart from just your natural temptations, inclinations, and impulses. So to be a saint means you have chosen to set your life apart for God, to live for His purposes, and to live for joy in Him. So in one sense, anyone who is baptized and lives out their baptismal vows is a saint, is a holy person who's set apart from God, who's someone who's always striving for holiness. Now, so that's why you see in the Bible, Paul will address, you know, the saints at different cities or regions in the ancient world. However, in modern usage, when we talk about saints, we're usually referring to canonized saints. Those are people that the church has recognized are in heaven, spending eternity with God and pray for us and intercede for us as part of the body of Christ, the church triumphant in heaven. So the canonized saints are those people who have gone on to their eternal reward. So our goal as saints in this life is to continue to persevere in holiness, to not reject the crown of salvation that's talked about in Scripture, but to pass away or to leave this life wearing that crown to enter into the joys of heaven. So being a saint means just being willing to always want to follow God in everything you do. And as my old colleague and friend Patrick Coffin used to say, be a saint. What else is there?
Yeah, very familiar saying. And when you when you look at, being, a saint in heaven and being, glorified body and just having this eternal happiness with God, I think our minds do often go to those who have lived life of excellence before us. And can you talk a little bit about this this chain, this handing on of the faith and the witnesses that we see in society, that this faith is not just, something that has just cropped up in the last 20 years. And I think this applies to a lot of young adults because they like to be part of something bigger. That's what our millennial research tells us, right?
Right, and I think it's important when young people see that our faith, isn't some new fad. It's kind of an ancient mystery that has been passed on for 2,000 years. That really is moving for people. And to see that the saints were not, the term I use, are pious robots. The saints had real struggles with sin and with just very difficult things and suffering in life. But what makes them a saint is not that they never sinned. Every saint has been a sinner at one point. It's not that they never sinned. It's that they never refused to stay in sin. It's not that they never fell. It's that they always got back up again through the grace of God, letting the grace of God work through them to do that. So that's why I think for young people, when you read the writings of the saints, even though they lived maybe centuries or over 1,000 years ago, to what they say is still relevant for our spiritual lives and battles today. Like, for young people, I'd recommend things like St. Francis de Sales' Introduction to the Devout Life, that much of what he talks about, they're very practical, rules, guidelines for conversations and gossip and interacting with people. It's still the same, no matter whether you're on social media or in person. There's a lot of rich wisdom the saints have learned by growing closer to God and then applying that into their own lives. And it really behooves us to read them, to understand them, to ask for their prayers so that their efforts can help us to grow in holiness.
Fantastic, fantastic stuff. And that's a large reason why we have a lot of young people and actually everyone who celebrates the sacrament of confirmation take a saint as their patron so that they can understand and actually model their life after that saint that subscribes to this, maybe the same type of spirituality, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. My patron saint is St. Paul. So because I was a convert like him, and I was really moved by his conversion story in Acts chapter 9, and someone who was once skeptical and has now become a defender of the faith. So he is someone I often seek prayers and intercession from.
Quite awesome. Quite awesome. So how about you tell us what the saints have never said? You've got a new book out about the saints. So what is that all about?
Sure. So I wrote a book called What the Saints Never Said, Pious Misquotes and the Subtle Heresies They Teach You. And that book is about famous quotes we attribute to the saints they never said, including quotes that have bad ideas that kind of corrupt what we believe. So to give the most famous example, St. Francis of Assisi never said, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. It's good to make sure we live out our faith. St. Teresa of Avila did say we must always be preachers by our deeds. However, St. Francis of Assisi was a good preacher with words. He moved people with words, including words about hellfire, damnation, and repentance. But his words stirred people to convert and repent. And we have to be willing to share the faith powerfully with words as well. I like to tell people this quote makes no sense, or it's a bad quote. If you substitute it, if I said, look, let's say you're a married person and I told you, love your spouse, use words if necessary. and people laugh when I tell them that. But I mean, it's good to do acts of service for your spouse. But if you never said the words, I love you, it'd be very hurtful. Much the same way, if we never use words to describe the gospel that's being shared with us, then what are we doing here? We have to be able to share and preach that important truth with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so in this book, you go through and help people overcome the misconceptions and there is some dangerous teaching in that. There's some dangerous teaching when you demystify that, when you demystify some of those quotes and sayings. And how important are those sound bites for us? You know, when we think about radio programs, when we think about media and this soundbite culture that we live in, clipping a soundbite and using it as a little quote here, a little quote there, words are powerful, right? For young people and for those who, and for all Catholics, words are powerful things, right? Even the scripture says that.
Oh, absolutely. The letter of James talks about how the tongue is like a little rudder that steers a mighty ship. Like, you know, a giant ship, it turns directions by just a little tiny rudder at the bottom of the ship. And the tongue is kind of the same thing for us, that it sends us into good or bad paths. That's a very small member of the body. It can have very great amplified effects. So the words that we share either can have very, very good effects or bad effects. Our words can detract or cause slander to other people, or they can lead people into scandal, or our words can glorify God. And then sometimes our silence can also be bad, when we should speak up, when we should say something, and the tongue refuses to do something. That can also be a cause for an occasion of sin. So that's why we should always pray to sanctify the words that we share. When I go on radio, I usually pray, Lord, let the words I speak be your words and not mine alone. That I know the words I speak are mine, partly. I come up with them, I think of them, but I don't want them to be my own words alone. I want God to be able to use them for his purposes, and we should always be praying to do that.
That's a beautiful that's a beautiful prayer, and one I think people can echo. How about lastly? We're time flies on these programs. Wish I could have you for a 4-hour Catholic Answers, but can you just maybe give a tip to young adults who are out there in this culture to become a saint if they're really struggling in the Catholic faith or in their faith? We know there's a lot of people out there dealing with that.
Sure. You won't regret making sacrifices to be holy. You will regret doing things that seem easy or fun at the time, but are wasters. You'll regret wasting time on Facebook and social media or YouTube. You'll regret just spinning your wheels in a relationship that's not going anywhere or leads you away from God. Those are things that lead you to regret, but you won't regret making sacrifices. You won't regret engaging in acts of service to help people, volunteering at your parish or Newman Center. You won't regret going to daily mass or going to confession. Even if it takes time out of your day, you won't regret doing it. So treat and love your future self. I've actually thought about writing a book on this. That we do things now that we think are good that aren't, and they end up hurting our future self down the line. So just keep that in mind. Remember, when you have a choice to make, the harder choice is usually the better choice in the present moment. You won't regret it later. So just keep your future self in mind when you make your decisions, either for God or, sinfully against him. Keep that your future self in mind.
Wonderful stuff, Trent. Thank you so much for spending time with me here today on Young Catholics Respond. I want to make sure we plug your book, What the Saints Never Said. Where can they get it? I'm sure Catholic.com, but local Catholic bookstore and whatnot,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to shop.catholic.com. An online book retailer would have it. It's called What the Saints Never Said, or you can ask for it at a local Catholic bookstore.
Awesome. Thank you again, Trent. It's been a pleasure talking with you today.
It's a pleasure is all mine.
All right, well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. Until next time, from all of us at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I am Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.